This is The After Party, live with Kim McAllister. Pick a couch, grab a drink, and settle into the conversation.
Here we are again at The After Party Live. Thank you for your patience switching over from one show to the other. Great Mark Thompson show. I'm loving Hal Rudnick, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun together tomorrow. Brian Copeland was excellent today. David Katz, amazing as always. So thanks for joining me here on The After Party Live after that great Mark Thompson show. There's a lot to talk about, and it's Trivia Thursday, so I'm really excited about that. First of all, I do want to say a huge, huge thank you to the newest contributor to the After Party Live, because I just saw it pop through, Roger throwing down $10 to the After Party Live. You can find the PayPal information at the in the show description and on the About tab when you click on the After Party Live and it says About. It's in there. It's also in the show description every day. So huge thank you to everyone who's contributing, who makes this party go on and continue into the afternoon hours. Really, really appreciate it. All right, let's get into it. Before I do, I should ask you also to please click the like button. And I'm pushing up toward 2,000 subscribers. And every day there's a couple more, right? I think a lot of people see the short videos, click subscribe to the show. So if you haven't subscribed, please do it. And if you could share the short, that would go a long way to helping us grow. So thank you very much. And by us, I mean us collectively, me and you, right? We're all in it together. So, all right, let's talk about this tattoo lady. Now, she is upset. Her name is Ash. Ash is upset that she didn't get hired at TJ Maxx. They said she was not qualified. There were just other folks that interviewed for the position at TJ Maxx that had more retail experience than she did. She's like, really? You can't hire me at TJ Maxx? She's heavily tattooed, but beautiful, right? Heavily tattooed. She's got this kind of Satan-looking tattoo on her neck. She's got some facial tattoos going on, and she has a lot of facial piercings as well, including one of those rings in the middle of the nose that hang down. It's a pretty big one, and some other facial tattoos as well. So she's thinking, I probably didn't get the job because of my appearance, that maybe that's the case. And she asked them, but here's the question I have. I don't think it matters if you ask them. They're probably not going to be able to tell you that you didn't get the job because of your appearance. They're never going to be honest with you because there's a chance that that opens them up for a lawsuit. So Ash is pretty upset about not getting this job. And so she goes online and she makes this video. And it's kind of long and she uses the word like a lot. Like this, like that, like blah, blah, blah. But you kind of get a, I don't know, more of an inkling as to who she is. And maybe you disagree. Maybe you think she should have been hired. Here it is.
That is really starting to annoy me. So I applied for a job at TJ Maxx a few weeks ago, and they denied my application. They couldn't even call me. They just sent me some automated email. So I went in today and I was like, so what was the reason I didn't get hired? And she was like, oh, like you just like don't have enough experience. There was candidates that had like more experience than you. And, you know, I asked her if it was about my tattoos, obviously, because I know a lot of places don't like tattoos. She said that wasn't the reason. I don't feel like that's true, but whatever, I'll leave it at that.
So she doesn't get hired. What do you think? Do you think that this is because of her appearance? Or do you think that maybe it was because of the way she presented herself? I mean, she seems well-spoken. She seems like she could do the job, but she does have the devil on her neck and all the piercings. Is it disconcerting? Or are we more accepting of tattoos and body modifications nowadays, that it doesn't matter, that you don't look at that and have that define the person? On the other hand, if you do these things to yourself, the way we prepare ourselves for the day and then present ourselves to the world may say a lot about who we are or how we want to be perceived. And it's possible that if this is how she wants to be perceived, that there are some people that won't like the way she appears. I don't know. I'm going to the chat to see what you guys think. Karen says that maybe her perception, maybe the interviewer was correct. Maybe she just didn't have what the experience needed, right? Liz says it's her attitude and her appearance. Julie says she would scare the elderly and the children. Wes wouldn't hire someone who looked like that unless the majority of my customers were into that look. And I think that makes a lot of sense to me, Wes, because if you worked at a nightclub or you worked at a tattoo parlor or any other place like that, you would expect your clientele to go, oh, yeah, I mean, I'm coming here because I want a tattoo or I want a piercing. It's like if you work in a clothing store, they want you to wear the clothes that they are selling so people can see them on you, you know, how it looks, how whatever, so that you, I don't know, represent the place in which you work. And if that's not the, I don't know, the appearance they want representing TJ Maxx, then it isn't. But is it discrimination? Because she could be, as she says in the video, could be a great worker, could be the best employee they hired, could show up on time, could, you know, go above and beyond, be really kind to people, all of these things. And so should they then not hire her just because maybe she doesn't look like everybody else and she did it on purpose, right? And there's a difference between how you look in the way that you can't help it, you know, your race, your whatever about you that you can't help, right? And then doing something on purpose, which is tattoos on the face, piercings all over the face. These are things that you had control over. Well, I don't know. Doug says, yeah, no tattoos, please. No, thank you. Murphy, true story, she writes. Oh, I love a good true Murphy story. I hired someone during the pandemic and I didn't see her face until 8 months later. It turns out she had horrible teeth. I don't know that. I would have trusted her if I'd done that just because of the teeth. And it turned out she was terrible at cleaning. I should have known. Yeah. Just because she had terrible teeth, maybe she couldn't afford dental care. I don't know. You wouldn't have hired her if you'd seen her, the look of her. Sometimes if someone has something that really stands out, it's hard to look away from that. I don't know. Maud says, earplugs and nose rings? Nah, still taboo as far as consumers are concerned while checking out. It is true that she'd probably get a lot of looks, but she's probably used to that. And perhaps one could argue that she did this to herself because she wanted that attention. She wanted a lot of looks. She wanted to stand out in this particular way. I do agree with her that it doesn't mean she'd be a bad employee. But what do they say? You should dress for the job you want, right? You should present yourself, they say. If you want a job in a company where everyone's wearing suits, wear a suit. It's changed a little bit for interviews with the tech companies because now if you wear a suit, you're not considered techie enough. You wear a, you know, pair of what, khakis or cargo shorts and a shirt, a t-shirt or a collared shirt, sweatshirt, when you go for a tech interview. I'm still of the mind that when you go for a job interview, you want to present the best version of yourself, right? You want that first impression to be, oh, this is somebody who's professional, who can handle herself, who's good with people, who is going to work hard, that type of thing. I think the perception, even though it could be wrong, is that someone who's covered with tattoos and piercings, you see them at a party, right? Or someone who maybe doesn't take life seriously. And again, could be completely wrong, but perception is reality. And so what are you presenting to your prospective employer here? I don't know. The lady Beatrice says, I would only hire someone who had tattoos if she was willing to wear clothes that covered them up. And unless the piercings were new, she can remove them when she comes to work. I don't know how hard it is to remove those piercings that are like in your cheek or on your lip. I don't know if they can remove that. I'm not sure. Ms. Organic says, tattoos are addictive. My cousin is covered just like that, and many of his were done in competitions. I try not to judge anymore. There was a time I was raised in a way where my mother always thought and kind of tried to impart to us that tattoos are tacky. Like, we don't do that, right? The skin trash type of thing. And more people I know, respect, love, have tattoos. And so I've tried to wipe away that line of thinking and not be so judgy when it comes to that. Now, maybe I wouldn't get a tattoo or a nose ring, which by the way, my daughter, who's 14, has pressured me for a nose ring. And I still say she's too young and I don't want to let her do that. But I mean, I think we can be a little too judgy. And maybe, I mean, this woman is excessive, right, with her, the way she looks. But perhaps, I don't know, this is kind of a self-inflicted thing that she's doing here. I don't know. Heather says, I have 8 tattoos and 7 piercings. Heather, rawr. You wouldn't know it, though, if I were in a place or situation where they wouldn't fit in. Well, that's because you are smart about it, right? That you put them in a place where you can cover them up. If you're in a professional situation, you need to do that. If you have them on your forehead and piercings on your face, you can't cover that up. I mean, look at her. She's a beautiful woman, but this is her style. And I don't think you can take that away. And she did it in a way that says, this is me and I didn't want to cover it up. I don't want to take it away. I suppose you could try to cover it up with makeup. For a job at TJ Maxx, maybe not. So you are smart about it, Heather. And I applaud you. I mean, have the tattoos, have the piercings, and be who you are. But I love that you did it in a way that you can fit in every situation. That's smart. But then we knew you were smart anyway. Mm-hmm. Murphy says, front desk director of first impressions. No, not with rotted teeth. That's true. It is I thought maybe you'd hired her to be a cleaning person, but it is true, Murphy, that first impression when the person walks through the door and you're greeted by the person at the front desk or the salesperson, it sets the tone of the place, right? I mean, you're the representative of that establishment. And if you walk in and someone's like, you know, maybe not dealing with a full deck or maybe looks a little hanky. Is that a word? Looking hanky? I don't know. Then your impression of the place is diminished. Mama says, hey, Mama. Hope the boys are all right. She says, I knew a girl who worked at a makeup counter at Macy's. She got reprimanded for not wearing enough makeup. Right, because they want you to wear the product. They want you to sell the product. And if you're wearing it, then you're selling it, right? It's the best way to do it. Wes says, Hollywood gets away with hiring actors based on looks. Why is it so bad if other industries do? Well, in Hollywood, they're looking for, it's all about appearances, right? They're casting for a certain role, for a certain look. So I guess they can get away with that. Maybe that's what she should do. I mean, she'd probably be great as a character in a movie. I don't know. John says, chipped front teeth can cause people not to get hired. People think they're a drug addict. Happened to me when I chipped my front teeth and I went around for a while before they got fixed. Oh, no. I'm glad you got him fixed. Walter's got a tattoo, but it's hidden most of the time. Again, smart. Don't put it on your face, is what I'm arguing. The lady Beatrice says, looks are deceiving. I hate that workplaces look at someone with a nose ring and just assume that they're lazy and useless because of that. It's true. They're not. As a matter of fact, I was talking to my old boss, Lee Hammer, at KGO, and I was telling him that my daughter had wanted a nose ring. I was trying to come up with arguments as, you know, I mean, I'm the grown up and my answer is no, not yet. And he was like, I wouldn't hire someone with a nose ring or tattoos. And I'm like, really? Because I know people that work here that have piercings and tattoos. So I don't know how you're thinking you haven't hired people that aren't. But for him, it's about first impressions, right? I don't know. I think there are older folks that are still very judgmental. Doug says, if you want a little diamond piercing in your ear as a girl, okay, as long as your mom says okay first. Now see, that was Julia's argument. What's the difference, she said. This is a kid who wants to be a lawyer someday. What's the difference between putting a hole in my ear or putting one in my nose? And she said, if you really believe in my body, my choice, then why don't you let me have the choice over my own body? I'm telling you, this kid gonna be the death of me. Liz says her son has a few tattoos on one of his arms and I hate it. I have to tell you that my mother tried to get my kids to agree. I told you about my mom already here, right? She said, if you agree that you'll never have a tattoo, then I'll leave you money in my will. But if you have a tattoo, then no money for you. I mean, she's full of crap. She's trying to bribe them. It's important to her. It's not as important to me. Maybe it's a generational thing. Heather says, I've never had trouble getting hired with my nose stud. Probably looks really cute. Plus, you come in presenting yourself as someone who's got it together, right? I mean, I think it's the total package. If you have someone who presents themselves well, who answers all the questions and then some, like what you expect and goes even further and impresses the hell out of you, you're not going to get a stud in their nose dissuade you from hiring that person that is clearly intelligent and amazing. So I can see why you got hired, Heather. Mama says, I don't have any tattoos because I have a really hard time spending money on something I don't need. I see them as a luxury. Mm-hmm. And Sandy says, hey, there's a difference between a stud and probably something small and tasteful versus a huge big ring through the center part of your nose, like in this picture. And it's not even a little circle. It hangs down toward the lips. I mean, it's pretty big. Yeah. Wes says millennials are huge on leg and arm tattoos these days. Doug says most people regret getting tattoos when they get older. I don't necessarily know that that's true. I think a lot of people these days maybe are getting them when they are older, thinking, you know, maybe they didn't have time to do the things they wanted to do. And then they get older and they think, I'd really like to get this done, or I'd like to get this tattoo in memory of someone or what have you. I don't know. My husband has a story about getting a tattoo. He is a Marine. He was in the Marines. And so he had a night of drinking in Florida at whatever base they were stationed at the time. And it was a tequila night. And he said he woke up under a bush with a bandage on his arm. And he has this really large bulldog, the Marine mascot symbol. And I asked him, you got it when you were drunk, so you didn't put a lot of thought into it. Is it something you regret? And he goes, I might not, if I could redo it, or if I could, you know, do that night over again, maybe I wouldn't have gotten it. But it's part of my experience and part of who I am, and I wouldn't get rid of it now. And so I don't know if a lot of people regret it. Yeah. Heather says, yes, there are degrees of a nose ring. Teacher Lori, hi, says things change. My mom thought pierced ears meant you were a slut or low class because that's how she grew up, right? It's hard, though, not to take those opinions that our parents kind of crammed into us and have them not rear their ugly heads or evolve or be used in judgment of others. But I do think if you can open your mind and try not to judge people and try to appreciate the beauty of the differences of everyone, it goes a long way. Oh no, John says, I knew a girl from when she was a baby. She grew up and she has the face of a man on her boob. How do you know this? Did she show you her boob? Do I want to know? I don't think I want to know. Annie says this lady would fit in at Whole Foods. It's true. And I think you have to know that if you put the tattoos and the piercings on your face, there are certain places where maybe your vibe fits with the, you know, the other people working there. Yeah. Sandy has a navel ring, which almost never shows. I also have a small tattoo on my shoulder blade, which almost never shows. Awesome. I agree with the show it when you want to show it, you know, going to an event, a concert, something, wear a tank top, want to show that tattoo off or the navel ring. Great. But be able to cover it up so that you can pick and choose which situations you want to put yourself into. No, I agree. I love Heather just the way she is, too. Sandy says back in the day, she would have been able to work at Tower Records. Yeah. I don't know. You'll regret face tattoos when you get old. Perhaps. Yeah. On my face is never the way I would go, I have to say. Walter got his tattoo the day he got out of Navy boot camp. No regrets. Awesome. Oh no, Deidre. My son gave himself a few tattoos and they look like prison tats. Hopefully he didn't do it on his face. You know what, though? We love our kids no matter what, right? Sandy says we have the choice to do what we want with our bodies, but those choices may come with consequences. We may not always be able to get the job we want if we have facial or neck tattoos. It's true. Deidre says my daughter has a cute nose piercing. Okay, the question is, when did she get it? How old is old enough for a nose piercing? Help a mom out here. Because I think a teenage girl with a nose piercing, too young. I've seen some, my daughter's a freshman. She's only 14. I've seen some seniors walking out of the high school that have nose rings. And that seems to be a little more okay with me. Like they're a little older, you know. Freshman, I think, is too young. So the question is, what's the right age to say yes to the nose ring? I don't know. Jim, with a good point, to hire anyone under 30, you are eliminating many people if you don't hire because they have tattoos. All right. Well, I've definitely taken up enough of your time with this discussion, but it's so interesting the way we all perceive tattoos and what that says about the person that has the tattoos, right? Okay. You guys are helping me out here. Hold on. Just one more question. Doug says 18. 18 from the Lady Beatrice. It's Gordon, a little more liberal with a 16. Mo's like 68. No. We are all too young for nose rings. Heather's already planning her next tattoo. Okay, that's cute. A sound wave. That's so sweet. I love that. My daughter got hers when she was 19. See, I think that makes sense. Yeah. 18, living and independently. Mm-hmm. Yes to the nose ring when she can pay for it herself. She probably could pay for it herself now. We always take birthday money. We give part of it to them to spend and part of it we put in their savings account. So she has a little bit of a savings account. Heather says 18. All right. 18. I was thinking 18 before we had this discussion and most of you said 18. So now I feel so much better about my choices. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's talk about this Ritz bar. And oh, can you believe it? I've only done one story and we have to get to trivia too. So let me tell you about the Ritz bar. This is a gold bar giveaway. I'm down with the gold Ritz bar worth $100,000. It's a 24 karat gold bar that Ritz is giving away in honor of its new butterier cracker. That's what I know it's not a word, but that's what they're calling it, butterier cracker. And so the gold bar is shaped like a stick of butter, a butter. It's a homage to their new butterier flavored crackers. In honor of the upcoming release, the company is giving customers a chance to win this 24 karat solid gold bar molded in the shape of a stick of butter worth about $100,000. They say there, butterier cracker, the buttery flavor that fans know and love, elevating the flaky, irresistible crackers with an extra boost of decadence in every bite. Because, I mean, we needed more butter. What do they say? A moment on the lips, forever on the hips? Thanks for the butterier crackers, Ritz. And so to enter the contest, consumers have to post a video on TikTok using the live butterier TikTok effect from May 1st through the 20th. The video has to include hashtags LiveButterier and Ritz Contest in order to qualify. If you don't want to post a social media video, there's a mail-in alternative, but everybody knows they're going to pick a winner that has the video, right? So you go to TikTok, you make your butterier videoer, and maybe you win the gold bar, but probably not. That's a pretty good giveaway. I'd be pretty excited to win that. We have some more hints now about this Disneyland expansion. There's a rendering of it and what they're planning. I like what they're planning, I have to tell you. A little more hint about what's coming at the old Disneyland. It turns out an Encanto-themed land could come to Disneyland Resort. I love the way this article on KTLA starts. They say, it may finally be time to talk about Bruno. This song, there's a song in Encanto, we don't talk about Bruno. Well, now we're talking about Bruno. They're discussing this possibility of bringing Encanto to Disneyland. It's a beautiful... You watch the movie and you're immersed in the world, as always happens, but it's this old house that has all kinds of... The house has character, right? And crumbles and things move and there's basements and scary areas and there's, you know, pastures and jungles and it's beautiful, really beautiful. So the Disney Parks chairman told the Hollywood Reporter that Encanto is among the endless stream of stories they could tell at their theme parks. What they say is they have enough room to build the equivalent of another Disneyland park. And they say you start to think about, well, what can we do here? We haven't told anything, any stories on Wakanda. We haven't told any stories on Frozen. This is what he's saying. And so you think about the franchises, like Frozen's been around for 10 years, and Coco and Encanto, and there's so much they could do here. So I don't know. What do you think? Would you like to see Encanto? Am I the only one watching Disney movies because I have the smaller kids? Except it's me and Mama over here. We know all these movies. They have at Walt Disney World in Florida, they're planning to transform Dino Land USA, which is in their Animal Kingdom area, to a Mayan-themed Tropical Americas land featuring stories from both Encanto and Indiana Jones. So if they truly have enough land to put in kind of a second Disneyland, which would, you know, as big as the first one, they could do so much. Exciting to see what they'll do. I don't know. All right, let's talk about the Chinese space station. Here they are, these fellas. They're going to the Chinese space station. They're launching three more astronauts to the Tiangong space station as their lunar plans continue. They're preparing to put astronauts on the moon before the end of the decade. So these Shenzhou 18 astronauts are launching aboard a March 2F rocket from a spaceport in China on Thursday night. And it's going to take about 7 hours, and then they'll reach the Chinese space station. The folks that were there, the Shenzhou 17 crew, are returning to Earth in their own spacecraft on April 30th. So these guys are going to spend the next 6 months monitoring and making repairs to the functioning and performance of the space station. They're going to take extravehicular activities. So they're going to take their rover out. They're going to go on some spacewalks. They're going to carry 6 cargo outbound deliveries in an airlock module. And again, with the 3 vehicle activities they're planning to do as well. They're going to install space debris protection reinforcements for extravehicular piping. It's kind of like bumpers on a boat, right? Putting bumpers on your space station to prevent. So when the space debris eventually does whack into it, maybe it bounces off or it doesn't damage the surface of the space station. Sounds pretty smart to me. It's the 7th crew to visit the Tiangong space station. This space station, they're trying to keep it operational for the next 10 years. So, and they say the Chinese space station has been fully completed. I have to tell you that before I read the story, I thought we had an international space station only, and that we all countries participated in that. I didn't know China had its own space station up there. Interesting. Where have I been? How about this story? Then we'll get to trivia. Ew, what is that, you ask? Well, This is an ancient salmon that weighed 400 pounds and had tusks like a warthog. It's a spike-toothed fish. It was up to 10 feet long, this guy. 5 million years ago, the North American Pacific Northwest, teeming with huge fish like this, it would have made salmon that we have now look tiny. An 8 to 10 foot long prehistoric salmon species stalked the seas and streams of the Miocene, weighed upwards of 400 pounds, almost twice as long and three times heavier than today's largest salmon species, which is the Chinook king salmon. Let me see if I can pronounce the name right. Oncorhynchus rastrosus, or rastrosus, that's the name of it. He had a formidable pair of front teeth that projected out from the sides of his mouth like a tusk. Not fangs, as scientists previously believed, but more like tusks. This study of this fish, this ancient fish, has been published in the open access journal PLOS One. This fish they've known about since 1972 is when it was first described. And they believed its oversized teeth pointed backwards like fangs. And now they're saying no. The position of its teeth, they think, because they've now done some CT scans of it, they say they're more similar to the tusk of a warthog. So instead of it just being a big tooth, it's more like a spike tooth. They say it's part of the scientific process. You have an idea, you get some new information, right? And they say it's a good reminder of the humility that you need to have as a scientist, because things change. Evidence is seen in new ways. We have new technology to look at these fossils and these things and figure out, oh, we thought it was this way, but really, it's more this way. So they're not sure what these giant tusks were used for. They think maybe to fight off other predators or other salmon as well. Maybe it was a way for female fish to dig nests for their eggs, or to help both sexes swim upstream to spawn. Maybe they could hook the spikes on something and take a rest without having to use energy, like if you're holding on to the side of a swimming pool. I mean, they don't know. These tusks, they think, would have been equally fearsome in the male counterparts. This according to the curator of fishes at Oregon State University. That'd be a fun job. They don't think, though, these giant tusks were used for catching prey. I don't know. But it's interesting to see. God, that was a massive fish. So interesting. Let's talk about... I haven't saw this story. This is a story about design and coming up with interesting designs. And what if we had something like wind turbines on the top of small buildings? What would that look like? And this design contest says, how about something like this? Kind of cool looking. Arrivia wind turbines, developed now for city streets and buildings. You think about how windy it is at the top of some of these high-rise buildings, or in certain areas that are just really windy, and how much energy we could be generating if we had things like this in place. So there's this designer, Joe Doucette, who's revealed his Arrivia turbine. It's a modular wind power system conceived to have the necessary visual appeal to maybe fit in urban settings, but it features a 2 meter tall vertical blade with a sculptural helix shape rather than the propeller style, which you'd see on large wind turbines and farms, right? The blades, they say, create a mesmerizing flowing movement as they spin, key to the design. And it helps these systems be seen as a desirable addition to buildings, campuses, or roadsides rather than something ugly, because they're interesting to look at. this design plays a meaningful role in adoption and integrates with the architecture and infrastructure of urban and suburban landscapes to bring energy closer to where we work and live. That according to the designer. This story, by the way, out of a really cool magazine I found. It's called Dezeen, DEZEEN.com. And they have some really interesting building designs and car designs. And this is where this story comes from. So it's kind of fascinating, the look of it. The Arrivia wind energy system complements and coexists with other renewable energy systems while expanding applications for distributed wind energy. And I would argue that as we try to come up with more green solutions for how we produce power and renewable energy sources, things like this are going to have to be where it's at. I love how they have, you can kind of see the fencing there so that people can't stick their hands in and there's more of a safety element to it. Their helical shape emerged as the most high performing after 16 different blade concepts were evaluated and 3 different versions tested at wind tunnel facilities. They're not designed to be as powerful as the large industrial wind turbines. Each Arrivia estimating wall segment can provide 1,100 kilowatt hours in annual energy production based on initial testing. If you were going to, putting that into perspective, if you were going to meet the total energy demands of an average U.S. house, it would take a system with 10 segments or 40 turbines to meet how much you would need a year. So, I mean, I remember when there was a big push to turn off all the lights in the high rises at night. We were just conserving energy here in California. And if you drove in San Francisco and you saw lights inside offices in the high rise buildings, people would get upset. But if they had their own wind turbine system atop the building to provide and power the buildings, maybe it wouldn't be such a big deal. I mean, you still want to conserve, but yeah. All right. I thought that was an interesting story. Let's move to Trivia Thursday. Woohoo! Here we go. I have some questions for you today. And I've been told by a listener that I shouldn't say questions are easy because it makes them feel bad when they don't know the answer to the question. So noted. I won't comment on the difficulty of the question. I will simply dispatch the question without prejudice. All right. Here's the first question. Are we ready? After she became Princess of Monaco in 1956, she used a bag to hide her growing belly while pregnant with her first child, Princess Caroline. That's the origin of the name of a bag named for what former actress? Yes, it is Grace Kelly. Deidre, fingers on fire today. Woo! What technology company was founded in 1993 with the vision that the next wave of computing would be graphics-based? The company took its name from the Latin word for envy and features product families GeForce, Quadro, and Tegra. What tech company founded in 1993 has the vision the next wave of computing will be graphics-based? Yeah, I'm impressed. I'm very impressed. The answer is NVIDIA. Wes, throwing it down. Heather knew. Nice. I would not have known the answer to that one. Daniel Powter, P-O-W-T-E-R, is a Canadian singer-songwriter, if I can speak correctly, that rose to fame as his song spent 5 weeks atop the Billboard charts in 2005. The song featured prominently in video montages of American Idol contestants eliminated from the show. What was Powder's 2-word smash hit? The name of that song. Do you know? Daniel Powter. 2-word smash hit, 2005. I might have to give this one to you guys. Yep. Bad Day is the name of the song. You had a bad day. That's it. Thanks to Lady Beatrice. Got it. Right on. I would have known that one either. So just so you know. The United Nations General Assembly adopted an historic document in Paris at its third session in 1948. We all knew that, right? The document is regularly abbreviated as UDHR, which stands for UDHR. Resolution 217 in Paris in 1948. UDHR. What's it stand for? To go back to the chat. UDHR. Again, I wouldn't have known this one either, so. I'm asking you to have knowledge that I myself do not possess. I'm going to give it to you. You ready? It is the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, UDHR. Which 2 months of the year are named for mortal men? Which 2 months of the year are named for mortal men? Do we know? Which 2 months of the year are named for mortal men? It is indeed, John Watson, August and July. Yeah, that's right. Well done. All right, here's another one for you. What is the name for a type of rigid airship named for its German inventor, first flown commercially in 1910, carried thousands of fare-paying passengers before World War I slowed down the airship business? What's the name of this airship? German in design, a rigid airship, first flown commercially in 1910, carried thousands of fare-paying passengers before the airship business slowed down. It is the... Yes. Wes has it. It's the Zeppelin. Mm-hmm. John got it. Mama got it. Yeah, it's the Zeppelin. Good job. Well done, my people. What highly sought-after item of the modern age was created anonymously under the pseudonym Satoshi Nakamoto? What highly sought-after item of the modern age was created anonymously under the pseudonym Satoshi Nakamoto? Yes. How do you know these things, Heather? That was Bitcoin. That is exactly right. Wow, impressive. Impressive knowledge. What is the common name of the object formerly known as a besom, B-E-S-O-M, besom, besom, a common association with Halloween, produced and sold by brands like Treelin, Libman, and Swapt? What's the name of this item? Used to be known as a besom. The pumpkin? No. No. Yes, Deidre, it's a broom. A besom is a broom. Very good. What well-known artist famously severed a part of Vincent van Gogh's left ear? There has been speculation in recent years that it was actually Paul Gauguin. We're going to stick with the most commonly accepted perpetrator by art historians. This is kind of a trick question. Yeah, it's a bit of a trick question. Who cut off Vincent van Gogh's ear? Yeah, he did it himself. Or Gauguin? No, it was not Monet. Nope. Yeah, that's right. Cut it himself. That's why it was a trick question. Vincent van Gogh did it. That's what they think. According to an urban legend, what type of animal caused the Great Chicago Fire of 1871 by knocking over a lantern? What kind of animal caused the Great Chicago Fire of 1871 by knocking over a lantern? It was indeed a cow. Yep. Wes got it. The lady Beatrice got it. Sandy. Oh, Walter. Sandy said horse. Sorry. Good job, everybody. I love how you guys play along with these things. All right. What G instrument that starts with a G is technically a metallophone because of its set of tuned keys made of metal plates or tubes rather than the wood of a xylophone. The instrument was featured famously in many Rush songs like The Spirit of Radio and Closer to the Heart. What instrument is this? By the way, it's another instrument that Julia plays in Drumline. So, not a guitar, although that's a great guess. It does start with a G. Not a guitar. Yes, John says a glockenspiel. That is exactly what it is. Can you believe my daughter plays the glockenspiel? I told her that's a little nerdy, but she's like, I don't care. I love it. Okay. In what country was Häagen-Dazs ice cream developed? In what country was Häagen-Dazs ice cream developed? My daughter loves Häagen-Dazs ice cream because they now have these little mini containers. So it's not like you have to buy the pint. They have a little teeny tiny ones. It's kind of like, you know, a few bites. Where was Häagen-Dazs developed? Do we know? That's right, Liz. It was developed right here in the good old US of A. Exactamundo. Love it. Okay, here's another question for you guys. What famed children's author said the following? I answer all of my children's letters, sometimes very hastily. But this one, I lingered over. I sent him a card. I drew a picture of a wild thing on it. I wrote, Dear Jim, I loved your card. Then I got a letter back from his mother, and she said, Jim loved your card so much, he ate it. That, to me, was one of the highest compliments I've ever received. Children's author. Do we know? I'll give you a minute to type it in. Again, the hints are, I sent him a card, I drew a picture of a wild thing on it. The mother wrote back, that was one of the, Jim loved your card so much, he ate it. She said it was one of the highest compliments ever received. Yep, Maurice Sendak. Wes, first of the punch there, who wrote Where the Wild Things Are. That's right. That is a pretty good letter. What was the name of the commission established to investigate the JFK assassination? The name of the commission established to investigate the JFK assassination. Oh, Wes cheated. You're not supposed to cheat. Come on now, my friend. I asked Alexa. Don't ask Alexa. Alexa is not involved in Thursday trivia. Come on. Yes, it's the Warren Commission. Warren Commission, wonderful. I do love that you... You admitted it, though, Wes. It's very true. What does SMS stand for? SMS. S as in Sam. SMS. In the context of cellular communications. What does that stand for? You shouldn't have to look this one up, Wes. What does SMS stand for? Close. Very close. Close. You guys are on the right track. It stands for Short Message Service. Short Message Service. Anybody have it? I have to go back. Heather, short message service? Yeah. Short message service. That's what it stands for. That was a good one. All right. Here's a sporty question for you. Netball, water polo, and Olympic rugby are all played with how many players per team? How many players per team? And if you guys have this one. Not 12. Not 10. No, 11,780. No. No, no, no. 8? We're getting warmer. The right answer is 7. 7 players per team. What 110 mile per hour air current circle the Earth's tropopause in a westerly direction? What 110 mile per hour air currents circle Earth's tropopause in a westerly direction? Deidre, right off the bat, it's the jet stream. That's exactly right. It's the jet stream. Nice. Wow, you answered that one fast. Take two words and arrange them one way, you get a Canadian whiskey. Arrange them the other way, you get a generic soda brand. What are the two words? You take two words and you arrange them one way, you get Canadian whiskey, a type of Canadian whiskey. You arrange them the other way and you get a generic soda brand. What are the two words? No, it's not Canadian Mist. Think of a brand. It's a brand name. If you put the one word in front of the other one way, it's a Canadian whiskey. If you put one word in front of the other way, it's a soda. No. Nope. Then Canadian clearly would have to be a soda, right? No. What's Mark Makers? Maker's Mark or Mark Makers? That's what they're asking. No. Yes, Jim has it. Crown Royale or Royal Crown, right? Depending on how you arrange the words. That was a goofy question, but thank you for playing along with it. I appreciate it. The very first McDonald's restaurant was opened in what state? We're talking about the very first McDonald's, not the first franchise location, but the very, very first McDonald's opened in what state? Yep, California. Deidre, California. It was in California, Southern California, actually. You guys got it. That's right. Let's see. How about this one? 158 separate stanzas. This nation is often considered to have the longest national anthem in the world, with 158 separate stanzas. What is this European country with a population of about 11 million people? Longest national anthem in the world, often considered to have that. Let me go in and see if you guys got the answer. Somewhere in the south. No. Yeah. It is not Germany, interestingly. Starts with the same letter, though. They have a lot of pride in their country. Let's just say that. Haven't seen the right one pop up yet. 158 stanzas to the national anthem. That'll take a long time to get through. Not Georgia. Nope. Not Switzerland or France. It is indeed Greece. John Watson. Nice. All right. I don't know how much more we have time for, but I'll throw down at least one more here. James Dean wore a cowboy hat and got slathered in oil. Now I have to go back and watch this movie. In what epic 1956 film that earned him his second and final Oscar nomination? James Dean wore a cowboy hat and got slathered in oil. In what epic 1956 film that earned him his second and final Oscar nomination? You guys knew this one fast. Yeah, Sandy gets it. It's Giant. That's right. Heather says, I don't even know all the words to our own anthem. I don't either. Apparently, we only sing one or two stanzas of it, and the rest has some racist stuff going on. So maybe it's a good thing we don't have that stuff memorized, right? You guys want one more? I'll do you one more. I'll do you one more. Speaking of Greek stuff, there's a town in the Peloponnese region of Greece with a namesake food item known for its purple color and smooth, meaty texture. What is the fruit? There's a town in the Peloponnese region of Greece with its namesake food item known for its purple color and smooth, meaty texture. What is this fruit? Think of what would come from Greece, right? Yeah, it's an olive. It's actually a Kalamata olive, as a matter of fact. Yeah, Heather, it's a Kalamata olive. Way to go. Wes and Heather got it. All right. Thank you guys for hanging out with me, spending time on Trivia Thursday, answering all the fun questions of the day. Thank you for contributing to the show as well. So, so appreciated. I saw Wes threw down a $5 contribution while we were playing trivia. So huge, huge thank you. I'm a little behind on this one. So I'm so grateful. And I'm grateful for all of you, honestly, contributions or no, spending your time and taking the time to be here. If you could please click the like button. If you haven't subscribed, please subscribe to the After Party Live. And I'll be with you tomorrow. So we're live tomorrow on the Nikki Maduro Show. It's going to be great. We have a recorded interview with Loretta Lynch. She wrote an op-ed that appeared in the Chronicle about PG&E. We're going to talk to her about that. That's recorded, but the beginning and the end of the show, we're live. So we'll be able to do that like we used to. So that'll be good. Then at 11, the Mark Thompson Show begins, and I've got Hal Rudnick with me again. We kind of found our rhythm somewhere in the show. So it's going to be a great Friday Fabulous Florida. Again, we have Michael Schur and Michael Snyder for Friday. So I'm excited. And then we're back here for a Friday edition of the After Party Live. Huge, huge thank you to everyone for hanging with me and for making the show what it is. All right. You guys have a great rest of your day. Make it a really good one. And I will see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The After Party Live would like to thank the following contributors and viewers like you.